There's a story told of a man who worked in a factory in the days when the working day was marked, beginning and end were marked by the sound of a hooter. When he worked in the factory, and then he was given the responsibility of sounding that hooter. It was his job to sound the hooter first thing in the morning to start the day's work, and then in the evening he sounded it again to mark the finish of the working day. And that was his job, responsible job. Every day as he walked into the factory, he walked past the jeweler's shop, which had a clock outside it, and he did a quick time check, just making sure his watch was okay. And then he went into work, sounded the hooter morning and night, kept going. Then after some time, he had a reason to go to the jeweler's shop. And as he was in the jeweler's shop, he said, "Can I thank you for your clock outside? Because every morning I set my watch by it, and it's great." And the jeweler said, "Oh, don't thank me. I set the clock by the hooter that goes off in the factory." Who sets your standards? Who sets your values? Where's your plumb line in your life? Because it's perilously easy to allow someone else to set your standards or something else to set your standards, and then they follow you and you follow them, and we get into quite a mess. So whether it's something that's popular, that's what's popular at the moment, therefore that's the way I go, that's how I live, and the whole social media thing feeds into that. I'm not a total critic of social media by any means, but sometimes it can feed into that just desire to be with the crowd, to run with the crowd, and that's what sets our standards. What's everyone else doing? I remember as a teenager, I can't even remember what the discussion, probably mildly, with my dad about something that I wanted to do, and my argument was, everyone else is doing it. And he looked at me and took his glasses off and said, "Well, you're not quite right, because you're not doing it." But that's sometimes what covers us. Everyone else is doing it. Therefore, it must be the right thing to do, the right way to live. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe we look at what's sort of trending and we decide, you know what, I'm going to be completely the opposite. Just to be, that lovely Ulster Scots word, just to be thrawn, I'm going to do the opposite. And that's how we live. That's how we set our standards. That's the plumb line in our life. What's everyone else doing? I'll go the opposite direction. You maybe know people that do that. Maybe you are that person. We just seem to do it sometimes. Maybe it depends on our circumstances. It depends on who we're with. We're a bit like chameleons, you know, those little lizardy things that can change their color as they move around different backgrounds and they change their color. We do the same thing. Depending on where we are, who we're with, we change what we're like. The company that we're in sets our standards. The places that we're in set our standards. And it's hard to be consistent. If we're continually going to be blown about by what other people are thinking or doing, then we're all over the place. So who sets our standards? Where is our value? How do we remain true and upright? And the answer to that must be that whatever it is, we need a standard that doesn't change. We need some sort of standard that is just fixed. So it doesn't matter who we're with. It doesn't matter what everyone else thinks or does. Here's the standard. Whenever we ordain elders, ministers within the Presbyterian Church, one of the things that we say is this: the Word of God, as set forth in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments is the only infallible rule of faith and practice. In other words, what we're saying is, here's our standard. God's word, the Bible, is our only infallible rule of faith and practice. It's the only infallible rule to what we should believe. It's the only infallible rule about how we should live. Here's our standard, unchanging. Irrespective of what's going on around, here's our standard. The word of God. And so we read in the passage that Angus read for us a moment ago. All scripture is God-breathed. It's not just something that's plucked out of people's heads, that someone has sat down somewhere in a round tower or on a desert island somewhere and written all this wonderful stuff. It is God-breathed. It's a wonderful expression. It's actually from the very heart of God breathed out into his word. It's God-breathed. That's why it's unchanging. That's why it's the only infallible rule of faith and practice. And because it's God-breathed, then it's useful. Where else are we going to turn to for our teaching? Just the one who shouts loudest around us? The one who has the latest idea around us? Where else do we turn for our teaching? If we're all being honest, we need to be rebuked and corrected and trained. None of us perfect. We all need that rebuking, correcting, and training, and that's what God's word does for us. But not so that we just get beaten into shape. It's so that each of us may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Why does God do this rebuking, correcting, training so that we're equipped to serve him? Eugene Peterson's The Message puts it this way. I'm sorry, it's a wee bit long on the screen, but every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way through the Word. We are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has given for us. So who sets your standards, your values? God's word. That's why it's central to who and what we are. God's word. But we don't need to simply ignore people around us. We can listen to voices around us, but we need to measure those voices against something else. If you talk to someone who works in a bank and used to be the old paper banknotes, and you ask them how do you tell which one's fake and which one's a genuine one, they would have told you, you just get so used to handling the truth, the genuine one, that when a forgery comes along, alarm bells start to ring. It just doesn't feel right. Because you're so used to dealing with the genuine article, the truth, that when something false appears, you begin to get concerned. So it is with God's word. We listen to the things around us. We are in this world. Not of this world, but we're in this world. We listen to what's going on around us, and we assess it by God's word. We're so used to the truth, the genuine article, that when something false comes along, those little alarm bells start to ring. Back in Acts 17, there's a group from Berea, the Berean Jews, that Luke highlights for us. They were a more noble character than those in Thessalonica. There's a whole story behind that. But here's why. They listened to what was being said, and they examined the scriptures every day to see if it was true. They listened to what they were hearing, the voices around them, but they went back to the Bible and said, does it really tie in? We should be those who listen, but also assess what we hear by God's word, the standard, the plumb line in our lives. Verse 15 of that passage that Angus read for us simply says, "You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." You've known these Scriptures, and they're the Scriptures that could make you wise through faith. Make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Again, Eugene Peterson helps us understand what's behind that when he translates it this way. There's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible is for. Pointing us towards Jesus. Pointing us towards the way of salvation. The Bible, amazing book. Around about 40 authors, written over this huge long period of 1,500 years, and yet it has one overarching story. Even though it's written by so many people over such a long time, one overarching story: Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. That's the big story. Big story behind the Bible. And that's why Paul can say to Timothy, these Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So it's with all of this that I want us to think about the Immerse Bible reading experience that we're starting today. Excuse me. I know many of you have signed up for this. There are still some of these books available. People have asked, Stephen, is it just a story? It's just the text. It's the text. I think it's the New Living Translation that's used in this. There are no chapter headings. There are no verses in it. It simply reads. And a huge number of people have signed up for this. It's really encouraging. If you haven't signed up, there's still opportunity to get the books. If you contact the office during the week, you can get one of these books to be part of that. And why would we want to encourage you to read the Bible? Where's your plumb line? Where's your standard? Where's your value? If you watch any of the quiz shows on TV, you'll know that very often the levels of biblical knowledge, biblical literacy, are pretty low. Things that we probably learned in Sunday school are just not known anymore. So on one level, one of the reasons we read the Bible is to find out more and to inform ourselves. But it's much, much more than that. It is coming to find that salvation which is only in Christ Jesus as we read through the Scriptures. It is coming to grow in our faith as we read together. There's obvious benefit in reading the Bible on our own, but there's great benefit of reading together, just with a small group of people. And it's really exciting that friends are getting together, just a group of two or three friends. Some of our home groups are studying this, coming together to talk about it. I know they're not called Autumn Connections, is that right, Pam? It was Summer Connections. The folks who were going out for coffee during the summer, they're going to meet on a regular basis simply to talk through what they're reading. The idea is that the Bible was written not to an individual, it was written to a community of God's people. And so as a community they heard, and as a community they worked through it. And it is just so exciting that there are groups of people now going to read through this and come together and talk through God's word. What does it mean for me? Where's the plumb line in my life? What's God saying to me about my life in this passage? So please don't think this is just something to fill up your days. I'm sure your days are full enough. Please don't think it is simply to fill your heads with biblical knowledge so that you can answer all those questions on the TV quizzes. This is much more. This is coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Again, it goes back to our mission statement. It's printed on the bulletin. It's printed in everything we give out from here, to know Christ and then lovingly to make him known. To know Christ, that's the big thing. As people read through the scriptures, we want them to come to know Christ, but we also want them to grow in that. This is one of the things that they actually say about this Immerse book. Nothing impacts spiritual growth more than spending time in scripture. And communities become transformed together through the power of God's word. Again, there's obvious benefit in reading on our own. Of course there is. But there's just huge benefits in coming together and reading together. So we're starting today. And my prayer is that God will bless each of us as we read his word, as we spend time in his word, as we share together in his word. And that's why we sang the hymn. Come Holy Ghost, our hearts inspire, unlock the truth, thyself the key, unseal the sacred book. This is my prayer. That as we read together, the Holy Spirit will inspire us to know Jesus and to follow Jesus and to live those lives that are glorifying to him in every way. Come Holy Ghost, our hearts inspire. There's a website to do with all this, and it has lots of great stuff on it. There are lots of little introductory videos explaining what it is that we're reading. There's lots of information there. If you got a chance, you can look at that. Every week, we should be publishing in the bulletin details of what the Bible readings are for the week. You'll see it in today's bulletin. Little box in the bulletin there has the readings for this week. If you don't have to actually have the Immerse book, you can follow on in your Bible as well. But the big thing is that we open ourselves up, not just to God's word, but to the work of his Holy Spirit through God's word in our lives, so that we may be the people that he calls us to be. Let's pray together. Father, again, we thank you that you are the God who speaks. So as we read in these days, Lord, speak to us by your word for your glory. Amen.